If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Time of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a Wednesday morning. I watch America's Got Talent. I mean, so it's,
well, you're not alone. It's
popular.
Even during the Democratic and Republican conventions, America.
I must admit, I watched the conventions.
Well, America's Got Talent, though, was still the number one, usually number one and number two show of the week.
Yeah. I don't like the guys that stick things up their nose. You know the guys I'm talking about that stick scissors up their nose and do all that stuff.
What kind of gets me is the ultimate prize they're going for, besides the money on America's Got Talent, is a contract to have their own show in Las Vegas.
And $1 million.
And, well, there's $1 million, yeah. How do you create a show around someone who sticks things up his nose?
Well...
and what do you put on the billboard?
Well, yeah. Come in. You know, we'll sharpen your scissors. I don't know.
Come see our olfactory.
Okay, anyway. Last night.
All right.
I watched America's Got Talent, except for one act. And that act is a guy who sticks stuff down his throat, kind of a semi-sword swallower deal, while his partner, his wife, whatever, does weird stuff, and she's nice looking.
Does she just dance around while he...
Yeah. All right, here's a story.
Gives himself
okay, and I missed this. I missed this because I fast-forwarded through this act.
Right, because you...
I watched other single act.
But you were not interested in this one because of
He's sticking stuff down his throat and up his nose and in his eyes.
Relative grossness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuesday's live episode of America's Got Talent took an unexpected turn.
Oh, boy.
When daredevil Ryan Stock and his partner, the lovely Amber Lynn Walker, took the stage. After swallowing a sword and an arrow to warm up, Stock moved on to the main event. He swallowed an object with a target on the bottom. As Walker, the lovely Amber Lynn, watched, perched atop a pink ladder with a flaming arrow ready to shoot.
Really?
She appeared to be...
Well, he said he wanted to warm up.
She appeared to be focusing intensely.
Yeah.
But she missed. And,
well, wait. She was shooting at the...
She had a crossbow.
Uh-huh, and she was shooting at the...
A flaming arrow.
At the target, which was where?
Sticking out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that does sound like a bad idea.
Well, she missed. She shot...
She shot him in the face?
Well, no, she missed his face, too. She shot him in the chest with a flaming arrow.
Was that on TV?
Uh-huh. It was on fire, too. I'm watching it as we speak.
Was that just a bit shocking for the audio? You fast forwarded, so I mean,
well, does
it look like they were shocked?
I think I deleted it too. Oh. So damn, but I've got it here.
You got it on the computer, so that's fine.
Stock blew the arrow out. You know, made sure the fire was out, and then took the arrow out and said, "I'm okay. It just caught my shirt." He also revealed it was the first time they'd ever missed.
See, I thought just the opposite. I thought he was going to say, "I can't believe this happened again."
Howie Mandel is a gleek. I mean, he's always doing these phony expressions, reaction shots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it, Howie. Stop it. Mandel, they, of course, had a reaction shot of Mandel who was... Eyes were falling out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be sure the contestant was going to seek medical attention. Are you in pain? I would imagine after we finish judging you, you're going right to an EMT. Am I correct? Nah, Stock said. No, I am, Mandel continued. You know, we have to be responsible here.
You know, he could probably wear some sort of shirt that's flaming arrow proof.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then what are you going to do, get hit in the face?
I can't help him there.
He also encouraged viewers to vote for the act, Mandel did.
Okay.
I think the fact you're willing to do this, we got to vote for you. No, you don't.
No, see, that's not enough.
They messed up.
That's like watching a YouTube daredevil who, you know, is just a guy who flings himself into the air and lands and happens to not die. That's not as good as a real daredevil show.
Yeah. What's the redneck's famous last words?
Oh, hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah. That's right. It's true.
Or for those who don't drink, watch this.
Yeah. And I fast-forwarded right through it and missed it. I'm such a gleek. Speaking on business, listen each Tuesday and Thursday between 7 and 8 a.m. and from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KBOI, sponsored by Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. For the final traffic check, here's Ron O'Brien. 58 degrees at 850, Paul J. and Chris, Idaho Talks Live. Auto industry expected to get, the mileage thing goes up year after year after year. 54 miles per gallon is what they want now.
Wow.
Shimmering debate that normally occurs behind closed doors over whether changes should be made to fuel economy and greenhouse gas emissions has spilled out into the open. It happened at an automotive conference as government regulators clashed with the auto industry in Traverse City, Michigan. Two groups that represent automakers argued that regulators have set standards that must be met by 2025 far too high. They also say regulations are out of step with the cost of developing technology and what consumers want to buy. Regulators said evidence shows automakers are capable of meeting current standards and potentially even higher standards. But do you want a car that goes 50 miles an hour after about 5 minutes takes to get up there?
Probably not.
No.
But here's the one thing I would ask them straight out.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily on the side of the the people that want greener cars, but
they're more expensive. We know that.
Now, are the companies that have the big car are the big car companies against this because they absolutely cannot afford to do it and it would break them, or because by doing it they would make a little bit less profit for a few years?
I'm sure there's some of that, aren't you? I mean,
well, yeah. I just want to know which it is
and how much it is.
Because if it turns out that they're just worried they won't make quite as much money for a few years, then I don't have quite as much sympathy for them. Although I know that the people at the top still make their money. The people at the bottom are the ones that get
that'd be us.
The shaft.
We pay for it. Yeah. The auto industry, environmentalists, and government regulators are in the middle of reviewing possible changes to regulations that will influence how automakers spend billions over the next decade, as well as the kind of cars and trucks they'll develop to sell. Now, if people don't want them, they're not going to buy them.
True.
For consumers, the outcome of the regulatory battle ultimately will determine what kind of car automakers develop and sell.
Do you remember when the Edsel came out?
Yep.
They wouldn't necessarily do this way anymore. But when the Edsel came out, there was a lot of research and development that went into it.
Boy, oh boy.
And the problem with the research and development was that when they were surveying people, they asked people, what features do you admire on a car?
Right.
And so people would say, well, I admire this, and I admire this, and I admire this. The question they didn't ask them is, what features would you purchase on a new car? Just what do you admire?
Yeah.
And when it comes right down to it, they wanted to be able to create a car that people would buy, not just one that people would admire.
Looked like a Ford sucking a lemon.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what they said? Isn't that how they described it?
People talk about the grill looking like a toilet seat. It looks like a really narrow one.
Yeah.
But I suppose it does.
More aggressive regulations are likely to force automakers to develop cars that get better fuel economy, or electric and hybrid cars with better range, as well as reduce greenhouse gas emissions, mm-hmm. which is better for the environment. However, those cars could cost much more, and our automakers argue most consumers don't want to pay for the regulations currently in place for the 2025 models. Cars will cost much more than consumers are willing to pay.
Well, and again, if when you tell people, you know, hey, this will save the planet, they say, you mean this car right here will save the planet? If that's not the case, then please show me a cheaper car.
How about guys in their big trucks? And I understand it, and I empathize with it, and I like trucks.
Me too.
I mean, if you got to pull a trailer, you're going to need at least a 250, you know, a half-ton truck.
I would think so.
350, and what kind of how much is that going to cost you? I mean, they're already $45,000
mm-hmm.
for Ford F-150s, pickups. Really?
And get one.
How much can people
get
pay?
One with a lot of accessories? And
I bought my first house for less than that.
Well,
back in the 1800s. Only 7%. A survey says only
back when Joseph and Jesus came over and built it for you.
Yeah. Only 7% of consumers said they would spend $5,000 more for a vehicle, while 70% said they would pay $2,000 or less. So the appetite for this 54 mile mm-hmm. an hour, a mile a gallon car is very, very low.
Okay, you're taking a survey.
Yeah.
About cars.
Yeah.
And they ask you, would you pay $2,000 more? Would you pay $5,000 more? Why on any of those questions do you ever say yes?
Point taken.
I would mess up the survey. No, 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 no. They've got to be much cheaper.
People are not going to be able to afford cars.
Nicer and cheaper.
News break coming up. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? It's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Look at the headlines on the TVs in the newsroom. Meg Whitman endorses Hillary, a former GOP supporter. Trump aides feel they're wasting their time. GOP furious that Trump won't endorse Paul Ryan.
Yeah, Meg Whitman, when she announced that she was voting for Hillary Clinton, she referred to Donald Trump as a demagogue.
Yeah. RNC chair Rince Priebus. Apoplectic over Trump's refusal to back Ryan McCain.
You think Meg Whitman was ever for Carly Fiorina? That would be kind of stupid, I guess, because they both sort of had the same job at one point.
And, Meg Whitman needs to get a haircut, a different hair. Okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. That is really chauvinistic. I'm sorry. I take it back. Okay. She can wear her hair any way she wants.
I don't remember
She's
you saying
that. She's got enough money to buy and sell me a million times.
Like I said, I don't remember you saying that.
Yeah. But Meg, really? Right. How much you pay for that? Republican. Sorry, I did it again. Did you break and run halfway through that?
You can say you just don't care for her for totally non-gender related issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know her. You don't know me. I don't know her. All right. Republican lawmakers fuming this morning, Chris.
Are they?
Over a bombshell report. You can tell this is from Fox News.
Yeah.
Over a bombshell report overnight that the U.S. government airlifted the equivalent of $400 million to Iran this past January as four detained Americans were released by Tehran. And say the transaction has put more Americans at risk of being taken hostage. Well, really?
So we
$100 million apiece.
So we paid ransom.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was against our overall policy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So I was right about that. So
yes, sir.
They did this in secret, and now they're in trouble.
And any American who's wandering around over in Iran
is worth $100 million, as far as they're concerned.
So far this year, they are.
Oh, boy.
Cash transfer, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, was the first installment paid in a $1.7 billion settlement the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve a failed 1979 arms deal dating from just before the Iranian Revolution.
This is part of the arms deal. This is part of the nuclear deal. Then this isn't just about a prisoner swap.
Nope.
Okay.
But partially.
All right.
The cash flown to, who was president in 79?
Jimmy Carter.
I have no comment.
Okay.
The cash flown to Iran consisted of euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies because U.S. law forbids transacting American dollars with Iran. While the Obama administration denied the cash transfer was done to secure the release of the four Americans, GOP lawmakers said it was tantamount to ransom, as you just said.
Mm-hmm. It's also similar.
Mm-hmm. Paying ransom to kidnappers puts Americans at even more risk, said Senator Mark Kirk, a Republican from Illinois. While Americans were relieved by Iran's overdue release of illegally imprisoned American hostages, the White House's policy of appeasement has led Iran to illegally seize more American hostages. The four released Americans are Washington Post reporter Jason Renzian, Amir Hekmati, a former U.S. Marine, Christian pastor, ready for this, Saeed Abedini from Boise.
Yeah, we knew that part.
And Nasratollah Khosravi Rudsari, whose case had not been publicized before the release. Apparently, Fox News doesn't know who she is either. State Department spokesman John Kirby said their release was on an entirely separate track from the settlement payment in an interview Wednesday with Fox News. He said any suggestion it was tied to ransom is utterly false. We just don't pay ransom. This was not ransom, he said.
Yeah, they were different transaction. In one, we gave them millions of dollars, and in the other, they gave us their prisoners.
The timing
but
was
But it certainly was not ransom.
Yeah. Kirby further said there was no secret about the payment. It was their money, Kirby told Fox News, noting the funds had been frozen.
Okay, so it was their money that was frozen. So technically, it wasn't the U.S. paying this. It was simply the U.S., for some reason, negotiating with Iran.
Yeah. So they basically gave Iran their money back that they'd been holding since 1979.
Okay. I hope not with interest.
No.
Good.
He argued the compromise stuck with Iran worked to the taxpayers' benefit because potentially billions more could have been on the line. In a written statement, Kirby said the negotiations over the Americans and over the settlement were even conducted by different teams on each side. The funds that were transferred to Iran were related solely to the settlement of a longstanding claim at the U.S.-Iran Claims Tribunal.
See, that almost sounds like they're arguing that there's no hanky-panky here because these two different parts of the government had no idea what the other was doing, which isn't really a good explanation.
But might be accurate.
Well, yeah, it seems right.
Oh, man.
Wrong, but right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't get it. Who's on line one? Steve. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I love how Meg Carlson throws out the term demagoguery.
Whitman, you mean?
Whitman.
Yeah.
Meg Whitman, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, wrong Meg. You know, all of our government is nothing but a bunch of demagogues. They're not fixing anything. Nothing is being corrected. They just keep growing and growing government. And, you know, government is the antithesis of liberty. And if we don't get a handle on this government, the way it's going, we're not going to have any liberty.
So they're just going to say, at the end of the pledge, it'll just be with justice for all.
Well, there will be no justice. And that's the problem. That's what individual rights are about, is You know, we were all supposed to be individuals. That's what the Declaration of Independence states. And we've come so far from that now. And I look at the debt, and I look at the tax situation, and I look at people's freedoms, and people aren't free. We're being enslaved. We're enslaved to our jobs. We're enslaved to pay taxes. We're enslaved. You own a house now, and you think that's an investment. Look at the property tax and the interest and the insurance you pay on it. You pay for your house three times before you own it.
Even though as a populace, we do this voluntarily.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, and I don't think we understand what liberty is anymore. It's gotten so bad.
Well, I don't know about some of the stuff you're saying, but I do know the key basis to your argument that government is way too big and does nothing is really right on accurate.
They will never self-regulate. The only way we can regulate them is by elections or revolution, one or the other.
I mean, it used to be so simple, like you would elect... Pick out a name. You would elect Senator Borah.
Okay.
Send him back to Washington, D.C., where he and his two-man staff would handle a bunch of stuff. He probably had another guy back here in Idaho. So maybe three people worked for him.
Yep.
Nowadays, you send Senator McClure, and I'm just picking his name. I'm not attacking Jim, and I have no idea. But anyway, you pick a senator that's there now, which is why I used his name.
Because he's not.
Yeah. And his staff in Washington is how big, Chris?
Yeah, and the staff does all the work. He's just a figurehead.
Well, I know, so but what I'm saying is how big government is, how many people work there.
It's more than three.
Yeah, so it's probably 15, 20.
In Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and then he's got another half dozen back here. So, yeah. I mean,
it's pretty sad where we're headed. You know, I'm back to Trump just because he's not in with the group.
Have you seen the naked pictures of his wife?
I haven't. You know what? You can't untake a photo like that.
You ought to check him out.
Well, I don't care.
I mean, who do you want? You don't care?
I'm not interested in that kind of stuff.
You don't care that there's naked pictures of the...
Well, I think you can care without caring enough to look at them.
I agree with
that.
Okay, I'll just go there.
Yeah, to me, that's kind of like blackmail. Somebody's taking something that they shouldn't be putting and posting it, and they're doing it.
I'm just, See, but we're excusing all this behavior we wouldn't have stood for before.
Well, we have no civility anymore.
On the other hand, the difficulty of finding a naked picture of an international model is not so great.
No. Yeah,
that's a point.
It's out there.
That's
if you really want to look.
Yeah.
But do you want that? Do you want that in your first lady? Maybe I'm just old fashioned.
You know, and that doesn't even come to play for me. I mean, that's not even an argument. To me, that's a slap in the face. And it kind of offends me that people use that argument in politics. If that's what politics is about, then we don't need any politicians.
Hmm. You know, I'm not sure I'm following you.
It's about running the government.
Not about digging stuff up from your past, then.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know what? Let sleeping dogs lie. How are we going to fix the problems this country faces? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Good
you know,
point.
We've got a country here. Let's act like we have one.
Mm. Well, I'd prefer, let me put it this way, that there were no naked pictures of the First Lady.
Well, I would...
Well,
I
you
would
know,
prefer
if,
that too,
if you're
but you
if you're talking
what?
Like Bess Truman, I'm with you there.
I would like to know the truth more than I would like to see somebody naked.
All right.
You just want the naked truth.
Yeah.
I just want the naked truth. That's it.
There you are. Okay, Steve. Thank you. KBOI News Time, 9:18. KBOI, wow. We're late. KBOI News Time, 9:24. KBOI Rewards Code Funds, FUNDS. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter funds. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Let's go to John in Caldwell. John, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I've been listening to you, Paul J., for almost all my life that I can remember. And I'm not kidding. I was listening to you when there was Dick Eardley and Dan Smead.
Wow.
And Susan Eby and Marty Holtman. I can remember all of those guys. I don't know if you're on the same channel, but I know you worked with a lot of them.
Right, I did.
And I'm confused at why, with all your life experiences and understanding, why you're shocked at what this little tiny incident with Donald Trump and his nude wife and his big mouth, and why are you surprised that this has happened?
I'm not really surprised it's happening. I don't know which side you're on. My deal is I don't want naked pictures of my first lady out there. If it doesn't bother you, that's great.
No, I think we deserve it. We're getting what we deserve
that
goes.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's it. I don't like where we are right now.
Well, and the time to worry about that was, with Bill Clinton, or maybe even farther, probably, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, it's been
all
coming for a while.
It's been falling apart since then, and now we're where we're at. And I'm hoping that the embarrassment or the maybe some humility will come into our voting population and understand that, we asked for it. And
now we're getting it.
Huh?
Now we're getting it.
That's what I had to say.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, John.
I mean, that's, and a lot of people are saying something like that. It seems a little cynical, but... whatever we get is exactly what we're supposed to.
9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Sorry, Mr. Voice Man. Jumping my time. Listening to Idaho Talks Live on a Wednesday morning. It's 9:37. Mm-hmm. And...
H.G. McCall says, let's see here, some lady's opinion on what Trump might be thinking. Her opinion is making a national story. How about more than just opinions? I really don't care about opinions. Let's stick to the facts, ma'am. The reason it's a national story is because this is someone
who gave millions.
She's much like Carly Fiorina. She's a former Hewlett-Packard CEO. And she has been a big contributor over time to the Republican Party. And all of a sudden she says, well, I do like the Republican Party, just not Donald Trump, so I'm voting for Hillary Clinton.
Yep. It's America. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Floyd in Boise.
Good morning, guys. Let's talk about something besides politics. Earlier when you were talking about that, the fuel mileage thing.
Yes.
I've always been curious. Do you remember back in the 60s at Indy when they had that turbine car,
turbine-powered
car?
Oh, yeah.
And it ran away from everybody and would have won the race except for a $5 part getting broke. And then I believe it was the following year they banned that car.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, quote-unquote, fair to the other cars.
Did you ever go to a race where one of those cars was racing?
No, I never did.
Well, if you watch it on TV, you could probably, they sounded so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was awesome the way they sounded. Going.
And, but the turbine engine is about 98% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I remember back, oh, gosh, I was, giving away my age, but Walter Cronkite, they were, I think it was Ford, had come up with a concept car that ran on a turbine engine, and he said it would run on anything from high-test jet fuel to literally ground-up camel dung.
Yeah, that's true.
And now there was a professor that has actually, he got the idea to see how small he could make them. He has managed to make one that is the size of a postage stamp. But I always wondered whose ox was going to get gored if our cars were running around with 98% efficient engines in them.
Oil.
Didn't Chevrolet, was that?
It might have been GM. I'm not.
The Monza, wasn't it called, what was that?
It was a crazy looking car.
Corvair, it had an engine in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Monza, and I'm pretty sure that was a turbine.
Well, Mazda had the rotary engine.
Yeah, not a Mazda, but a Chevrolet.
Monza,
There was another word before. And Monza was the big one of whatever. Chevette? No.
Yeah, extremely simple.
Yeah.
Simple engine.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there because I was tired of listening to the politics for the day.
I'm tired of it, too. Thank you very much.
Now, it says in 67, It was 1967 at Indianapolis. There was a Studebaker STP special.
Yeah.
Had been built by Andy Granatelli.
Yes.
And it was driven by Parnelli Jones. And it says that was what they considered, because I just looked up Indy gas turbine car, and that's what it says.
Yeah, that's probably right. I got to find out.
Yeah, and it definitely, that's what he was talking about, was 1967, because it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, you can even buy the Hot Wheels version. Well, that's fun.
Okay, here's a picture of the Chevrolet turbine car. And it's not what I'm thinking of. It looks like a...
they should call it the Seek, you know, because of the turbine.
Mm-hmm. There's... Huh. Anyway, there's apparently been a lot of turbine cars built. I'm looking at a whole bunch of them here.
Mm-hmm.
And Chrysler's had a couple. Chrysler had a turbine.
There's an STP Paxton turbine car.
Mm-hmm.
It produced a heartbreaking near miss at the 67 Indy 500. So, yeah, I think that's what he was talking about. Yeah. And this is that same car, the Studebaker, built by Andy Granatelli.
Yeah. Isn't that odd that Studebaker would build a cool car?
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, it was a Studebaker design, but you know how the race cars are. I mean, they're all built from scratch.
True. True stuff.
Even the ones called stock cars, they're not.
No. Yeah, they're not stock.
You cannot get these on the lot.
Let's go to Sue from Boise. Sue, good morning.
Hello, Paul J. I was just calling to comment on the gentleman's call about bringing up Donald Trump's wife's naked picture.
Yes.
We have a young, foolish girl opposed to a dirty old fart with Monica Lewinsky in the White House. So which would you rather have, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
I don't want either one of them.
Well,
how's that?
If you're talking about...
You don't have a choice.
If you're talking about Melania Trump or...
That isn't a choice. Yeah. You have one or the other. We have Donald Trump... Or we have Hillary Clinton. They have been our nominees.
Or in the case of what we were talking about, Melania Trump or Bill Clinton.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I might lean toward
a dirty old man.
I might lean toward Trump. I don't know that she was completely young and foolish at the time.
No, she
was an international
model. Yeah.
She was
married.
An international model, and it's really
not married.
It's not
Bill
that
Clinton
unusual.
Has been.
Yeah. It's not that unusual for international models to have, nude pictures taken of them from time to time.
It's unacceptable to have the president in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, I agree there, too.
But then again, Bill Clinton's not running for president.
His wife is, and neither is Mrs. Trump.
But that's a good point.
But is he going to live up in New York while she's in the White House? Or?
I don't know. I don't think he's well. He doesn't look well to me. Sits around
with
his...
I just want to bring that out.
Okay, good point.
I called earlier.
All right.
And I don't know how you could even think to bring up the two and even think about putting Mrs. Trump under the bus when we've had to put up with Bill Clinton.
All right, point taken. And my take on this election, you want to be shot or stabbed.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of it. Thanks, Sue.
Well, there we go.
I mean...
Well, and this has been a topic for weeks now that there's never been an election, oddly enough, because there could have been several of them, but there's never been an election where both candidates, the Democrat and the Republican, trended as just nobody really liking them very much. And I don't mean nobody. I mean, it's such a small percentage of people trusting them.
Isn't it low 30s?
Something like that.
Might even be lower than that. 30%.
All you got to get, I guess, is more votes than the other ones.
It's a strange, strange year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with your phone calls, 9:45. All right, we are back. Idaho Talks Live. Got about 5 minutes left. We'll get to your phone calls in a minute. Kellen Moore, scheduled for surgery later today in Dallas to repair his right ankle fracture. Team expects he misses 3 to 4 months.
Okay, so it just went from 8 weeks to
3 to 4 months.
Up to 16 weeks or 17.
And it actually went from a broken ankle to a right leg fracture.
And yesterday, I mean, they started out, everybody said ankle, and then they started saying fibula, which is more your shin, isn't it?
Yeah, big bone, the shin bone.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Nampa. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I might be able to clarify that rear engine car for you. The car was called a Corvair.
Corvair, that's it.
And Chevy built it, and I want to say I graduated from high school in 62. Kid down the street, he had one.
Yeah, I had a friend that had one, too.
63, 64, and they may have even built them into the early 70s. It wasn't a very successful car.
No.
It was naturally aspirated, but it had spark plugs.
So it wasn't a turbine.
It was air-cooled, just like a Porsche.
Right, or a Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
Well, Volkswagen and Porsche are basically the same engine.
Some people thought it was unique, but it just didn't really click. But it wasn't a turbine kind of thing. It had spark plugs and everything, but just no radiator. But
they made.
Do you remember the Chrysler turbine cars?
No.
Yeah, they destroyed all of them. There's a big conspiracy.
This turbine thing, they might have banned it because it's like if you guys ever watched Formula One.
Yeah.
Those engines are so complex. There's 11 teams. There's four engine suppliers, because Mercedes supplies engines to Williams. Ferrari supplies engines to the American team, the new American team Haas. But they're so complex. There's only a limited amount of people who can build them and who can develop them.
So that's why they're not in passenger cars.
Expertise to do a turbine car for Indy. Not everybody competing might have been able to compete with them, and they'd have just dominated for years.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't. Maybe that's why they. I don't know.
You remember who the
composition on my part?
You remember who the Corvair made famous?
No,
that's Ralph Nader, because Ralph Nader wrote something called "Unsafe at Any Speed," and it was kind of an expose of the auto industry, but in particular, it was about the Corvair, so. I think he wrote that about 67 or so, and then they made them through 1969 and then just stopped.
Yeah.
I thought they were cool.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, they looked cool.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, they did look, and they sounded cool.
Yeah.
But he's right. I guess they weren't turbines. I couldn't remember. Well, he basically told us why there aren't turbines in passenger cars. Too complex.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Let's see. April of Boise says... with all of this talk about how good Hillary is, I would mention, and all those big words.
Wait. What talk about how good Hillary is?
What have we said? Well, somebody said she was good, apparently. Huh. I would mention, and all those big words in his election, all those flag-draped coffins during the Bush years, proof the two of them know nothing of which they seek or speak, the 12-year war, and I think speaking of Bill Clinton also.
Okay.
Not just Hillary. The 12-year war, 73% of U.S. casualties in Afghanistan and Obama's watch, and really all the proof one may need to understand the media is lopsided. And then it goes on, but there's more examples of things that may have been the Clintons' fault.
Yeah. Let's go to Scotty in Middleton. Scotty.
Good morning.
Morning.
Going back to your the $400 million.
Yes.
It was the Iranians that kicked off the story. The leader of the, what are they called, the guards, or the Republican guards, he said taking this much money back was in return for the release of the American spies. Now, this money was picked up and put on unmarked cargo plane.
Yes, it was.
Consisted of Swiss money, money from the Netherlands, some money from the United Kingdom.
Euros, they're anything but American currency.
Yes, because it's illegal to do that.
Right.
Now, another thing that's taking place is we're giving back to Iran money that was put in freeze. Now,
yep.
We kept some back so that we could claim money from them because of the attacks that they carried out on the Americans, and it's even gone back as far back as
1979. And back as 1979 is when the money came from.
This money that we owe them, they're claiming, they're taking it to the court, the national court, and the Hague.
Yeah, it's their money. I mean, it was frozen.
It's money that was
us.
Frozen when the Ayatollah took over and the Shah was deposed. And
Right. That's correct. Yeah. That's way back in Abadan, 1951. But anyway, gentlemen, hey, I'm sorry I missed your program last week. I'm suffering from the shingles.
Oh, boy. I've been there. It's terrible.
Oh, tell me about it. Anyway, gentlemen, hey, have a good day and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Scotty. Right.
I'm not sure it was the Republican Guard. I think they were actually Iraqi, but
yeah,
I could be wrong about that,
but
too.
But, yeah, it's Iranian money that was frozen.
Right.
Oh, man, nobody knows the truth anymore.
Somebody does. They're just
not telling.
Probably.
9:55. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
They say the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That appears to be the strategy the Obama administration is taking these days with regards to Russia, coordinating inside Syria to fight ISIS. It's always a little dicey working with the Russians. They aren't reliable partners on much of anything. But here it might make some sense. The capital of the so-called Islamic State is in Raqqa, Syria. That's been their declared capital for years now. And it largely remains intact, with a precision airstrike here or there. The internet in Raqqa still works just fine. ISIS takes advantage, pushing out thousands of tweets and propaganda every day to would-be terrorists all over the world. The Obama administration doesn't want to take out the internet for humanitarian reasons. The administration is also reluctant to go after the command and control of ISIS in Raqqa because of the civilian populations there. I can assure you, Russians will have no such concerns. And as the old saying goes, be careful when you pick up a snake, you're likely to get bit. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.